Astro David Renicky, what a great website, davidrenicky.com. Also, the man is even better because he's with me right now. David, hello.
Ground control to Bilko, ready to go when you are.
Roger that. Tell me about what's coming up October 21. We have some women doing a spacewalk. Is this a world first or a first forever?
Yeah, well, it is a world first. It's a second attempt, at something that went drastically wrong in March.
Oh.
Now, two women are due to do a spacewalk on the 21st of this month, which will set a record. Women don't normally work together, or never have, outside the space station on any project at all. It's usually a man and a woman. Or
is that NASA protocol or something, or is that a sexist thing? What's the reason?
I don't know what it is. It's just one of those crazy things that NASA and space have always been blokey type things to be done. You know, it wasn't until the middle 70s until America flew an astronaut, a woman astronaut.
Yeah.
That was Sally Ride. So here we have the space station up there with these two women on board ready to go. Christina Koch and Jessica Meyer will do this spacewalk to install new batteries on the space station.
So it is legit work. It's not just a publicity stunt.
Now, these batteries are necessary up there to keep it, you know, to keep it running properly. The problem was, in March, when they tried to do this, one of the suits just didn't fit properly. Now,
a big bum issue. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it was a little too tight around the chest area. So the reason for that was simply that when they suit them up down here on planet Earth, apparently the body changes a little bit when you go into space.
God.
You get taller. You're a little bit taller than normal. There's less gravity on your body. And you apparently puff up a little bit. I don't know why, but it just didn't work, you know, and they were embarrassed in March for that reason. That was the only reason. It's not because they didn't have a suit for it, but it was a disappointment. Now, these two, now they've got it all sorted out. They're going to do this spacewalk, which would be good, and no doubt it'll be on NASA TV to watch live if anyone wanted to do that.
Oh, yeah, I'll get those links up on our Facebook and website too for those who want to have a look at that. Thanks for reminding me, David, on that. I thought most women would like to puff up a bit more in that area, but I've got to keep quiet about that as a male, so
yeah.
I will.
Well, the suits are all ready to go, and as Diana Fisher would say, you know what she'd say, does it come in any other colours?
Oh, God, okay. Hey, tell me.
No, I was only kidding.
Yeah, it's all right.
Being smarter, no,
I know. Tell me about this this meat grown in space, first ever meat. Wow.
This is very interesting. It's the future. It's science fiction coming true. Now, I remember in the Jetsons, I remember watching Jane go to the kitchen in the home they had, which was orbiting Saturn or something like at one time, and push a button and out came a roast dinner. Now, in some of the science fiction movies, we've seen the same sort of thing happening. Well, this is becoming a reality, believe it or not. This is called a bioprinter, a 3D bioprinter. Let's take two steps back. Your machine at home prints for you. It's a printer.
Yeah.
It prints paper. Now we've got a 3D printer. Now, a 3D printer will make things for you. It'll make parts. They're even talking about making organs for body parts.
Yeah, that'd be
later
awesome.
Down the track. Now we've got a bioprinter. What this bioprinter does, it's a technique used to provide meat for living in space, and they do that. The method relies on mimicking the natural process of the muscle tissue generation that goes on inside a cow's body. Believe it or not, they've already done it. They've had a prototype strip of steak grown from cells in the lab in 2 weeks on the space station. Didn't taste very good. They said it was pretty lousy.
As long as it looks good.
It's only the first attempt.
Yeah. But the fact is that, and I noticed last week the CEO of Hungry Jack's came out and said, we can't sustain on Earth all this meat production for our needs and for a growing population. This is, you know, from a fast food franchise. I did mention this to my son, who works at Hungry Jack's, and he said, well, Dad, they have tried this new, apparently, soy meat or something, and he had a test bite over the weekend, didn't like it, but I said, you know what, that could be an option, the soy meat here, but growing it in space would be just brilliant, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, it would be. From, you know, long voyages in space there, and you need nutrition. It's a solution to produce the food close to what we want, rather than having to rely on on animals actually being there. This company's called Aleph Farms, A-L-E-P-H. And as I say, they're only a new, they're a startup group. But I think there's a lot of future in this one.
Well, it would sustain a spacefaring industry because you have to truck the meat back to Earth. So therefore, you've got constant ships going up and down. So that would develop that sort of technology as well. I like that idea.
Yeah, well, it's producing real meat without actual livestock production. So these things are the type of just the technology that we're going to need.
Sign me
up. In the latter part of this century when we do move away from the Earth for extended periods of time.
Hey, yeah, what's going on with Saturn? Apparently it's got more moons than we thought.
Yeah, Saturn now has 82 moons. They've just found 20 new ones.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know.
How do you hide a moon?
But the thing is here that this is you've got to draw the line somewhere. They're not very big. They're only, around 10 or 15 K at the most. Some are only, the main ones are 5 kilometres wide. And 17 of them orbit in the reverse direction that Saturn moves.
It's like being at a skating rink when they ask you to skate in the reverse direction and you fall over. Yeah.
Well, you can imagine what happens there. The obvious answer to this is that something's come in there and barreled or hit one of these other bits of rock and it's broken up into 20 little more chunks. And, of course, the direction it was hit would change its rotation. So it's nothing unusual. I mean, this type of thing happens all the time. And we now have to adjust the books now and let you know that Jupiter is no longer, with 79 moons, no longer the king. Saturn now has 82 little moons. I think they really should be called moonlets.
Yeah, well, moon's just a generic term for something that's a big mass of Earth or rock. Then let's call it for what it is. If it's just a little moonlet or a ringlet or something like that,
Yeah, a lot of people aren't aware. And when we do these talks, people ask you the same question: what's the difference, moon, planet? Well, look, it's simply just that when you see a star, our sun is a star. It's the same thing. Stars and suns are the same thing. When you see a star in the sky, it's really like our sun. If you got close to it, it would be like a big ball of gas, like ours.
Yeah.
And when you have something revolving around a star, it's a planet. Now, if something revolves around a planet, we call it a moon. And sometimes if they're tiny enough, those moons can have little bits spinning around them, and they're called moonlets.
Oh.
Complicated, but it's not really.
Back to school kiddies on that one. And one final thing, David. This was big news, I noticed, last week too. NASA saying that we aren't ready for life on Mars. We aren't ready to set up anything up there. What's he saying here?
Yeah, this is a case of NASA really do need a press agent. They really do. they need somebody who can do a copy, who can get out to the media, who can write a press release that doesn't get misquoted. I think, this revolutionary scientist or top scientist Jim Green does work for NASA. I think what he's saying is that when they send their rover, the EXO rover is due to land in 2021, there's the 2020 rover ready to go next July. We're going to dig into the soil there, and what he's saying is that we may find evidence of life deep down in the crust.
Well, I don't think that's going to be shocking. We've always suspected some sort of life there,
It's a silly quote. I mean, people now, most people now, are prepared to accept the fact that there's life out there, or has been at some stage. But Mars, you've got to understand what you're dealing with here. It's just a dried-up dust bowl. There's nothing ever, ever, ever lived on it. If there was, we would have found evidence for it. There's nothing, not even a microbe, a dead ant, nothing has ever been found on the planet because the conditions are so terrible. So wouldn't be too concerned about this statement, but NASA have always had trouble, getting a decent press release out that doesn't get misquoted or...
I think NASA want to remain relevant, David. That's the problem. They just want to be at the forefront, and like Virgin Galactic and Elon Musk are, passing them by. Anyway.
Yeah, that's about all. Mm-hmm.
And have a look at davidrenicki.com for the big story about the $20 million investment in Virgin Galactic Space. That's incredible. And how it's going to cost us $250,000 to fly with Virgin Galactic. So all those stories are more up there.
You can afford it, Bill, I'm sure.
Well, mate, if we pull our money together, we might just, all right?
Yeah, look, this is going to... that's right. Richard Branson is ready to fly, I'd say. But there's a lot going on upstairs, isn't there? More than what we realise.
Yeah, more at davarenicki.com. Till next time.